Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I'm back. I took a 2-day break and I feel rejuvenated. I feel great. I was up in the mountains, went up to North Star in Kirkwood, which was awesome. I had a great time up there. But I'm back. And the whole time I was like driving back from Tahoe and stuff, I was just like, man, there's all these things I want to talk about. There's all these things I want to do. And so I'm so excited. So today is going to be a little bit all over the place. I want to update everybody on the DC and special teams coordinator search. I want to talk a little bit about international game scheduling because it does seem very, very likely the 49ers will have an international game on their schedule this year. And then I used probably my favorite follow person that I follow on Twitter or whatever, Dane Brugler, who I think does the best draft work out there of anybody, not even close. He starts following these guys in high school, him and his team. He put out his second mock draft. And so I want to talk through some of the pieces that he had for the 49ers in the first and second round, but also some tidbits just from the other stuff. And then I want to go back and I want to compare a little bit of offensive tackle rankings now that, man, we have not one, not two, but three draft breakdowns up on offensive tackles. Just did a Josh Simmons breakdown this morning, offensive tackle from Ohio State University, who, guess what, Dane Brugler had as the number one tackle off of his board in the mock draft, despite coming off an ACL, ahead of Kelvin Banks Jr., ahead of Will Campbell, all those guys. So if you want to see what that is, we've got Banks up on there. We've got Will Campbell, and now we've got Josh Simmons. So you can go watch the All-22. It's on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. Those are up, and we're just going to keep rolling over there. We're just, man, we're going to stockpile these things. We're 100 days, actually 99 as of this morning, 99 days away from the draft, and we've got you covered. The whole goal is, if you just watch this show, you should watch other ones, support everybody else out there, including my man, Dwayne Breezy. It's his birthday today. I love that guy. Can't wait to start recording with him again. It's been hard because construction's still going on, so I never know when I can go live. So I couldn't go live this morning at 10, but then there was a break. The construction workers, they were like, hey, we're going to take a little break. And so then I was like, I ran and jumped on. So it's hard, but I don't like scheduling the shows when the workers are here because that's not fair to others. But the John and Wayne show will return. Obviously. Want to say thank you to everybody for showing up. This is episode 1,310. Man, I love it. Executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George, 365, and David Gill. You guys are the best. All the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew. Y'all are in effect. Look at this. Chunder Boy, best offseason content with not one but two exclamation points. I appreciate that. Sean joking. How dare you take time off? I know. I'm bad at taking time off. I wanted to come home and record last night, but I was like, no, man, just take a day off. Take a day off. It's my dad was a workaholic. I'm a workaholic. It's a problem. It's a good problem, but it is a problem. Right here, Quinn, good draft picks will only keep improving our Niners, and we've got a lot of them. Really, really do, and so I like that. And, oh, Josh, go get Nick Skorton. And Nick Skorton, in the mock draft of Dane Brugler, went with the last pick of the draft in the first round. But he's an edge player out of A&M, and, yeah, he's a stud. He fits. He's kind of that Eric Armstead mold type guy, that build that, you know, can be a DT, can be an end, that big buck end style. He's a stud. What's up, Carlos? Hey, John, any good news about the defensive coordinator? Not much news there. I think the 49ers are taking a wait-and-see approach with the DC job because you've interviewed Deshae Townsend and Robert Saleh. That's pretty much it. Now, Shanahan said they're going to interview Brandon Staley as a part of that, but that's kind of an in-house, but it hasn't officially happened because you have to disclose that for the minority stake in the Rooney rule and all that kind of stuff. So that's it. Now, bad news, Robert Saleh keeps piling head coaching interviews up. Now the Cowboys are going to interview Robert Saleh for the head coaching job. So, and you know, I've seen some people kind of move off of Saleh saying, well, there's too much buzz around him. And if he's going to be gone after 1 year, then what? That's just what it's going to be. If you have a good defensive coordinator with the 49ers, you're going to lose him. Robert Saleh, D'Amico. If you have a bad one, you're going to lose them. There's no keeping the opposite of Shanahan. You can't do it. It's always going to be a revolving door. And it's the same thing whenever, look at Bill Belichick, right? He was that awesome DC. Now it's different with Belichick winning all the Super Bowls. I get that. But Belichick is a DC coach. He's a defensive coach. So what happened to all the offensive guys? Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels. Like, I mean, you lost all those guys. It's just what happens. So if you told me we could get 2 years of Robert Saleh, sign me up. Sign me up. Because then, guess what? You get another compensation, but you get two more third rounders, and we can draft two kickers. That's what that is. Robert Saleh, Tashay Townsend, those are the defensive coordinators up to date that have officially been interviewed. In special teams, you've got Chris Tabor, Chris Banjo, Jet Modkins, and then, you know, again, not official yet, but they're talking about Nick Sorensen. Oh my gosh, please don't do that. Don't do that to us as special teams coordinator as well. But as of now, those are the official interviews that have taken place. Chris Tabor is the only one that actually has special teams coordinator experience. I think that's really important. I would really like to get somebody with experience, especially at the DC spot, but special teams as well. And I know Nick Sorensen has experience, but no good experience, only bad. Every time Nick Sorensen has been in charge of coordinating, he has been god-awful. I mean, like, literally the worst in the league. So I know he's nice, and I know he's a Yes, Kyle guy. Dude, no. Nobody's trying to interview Nick Sorensen for a job. If you lose him, you lose him. Just because he's nice. I like nice people. I like positive people. But no. Oh, right here, R49, Mike Green. Greater than Nick Scorton. Now, in our last mock draft that we did before I took 2 days off, we took Mike Green the edge out of Marshall in the second round. Now, in Dane Brugler's draft that he just did two rounds, Mike Green went in the first round, pick 27. We took him in the second round. He went early. So R49, Mike Green over Nick Scorton, Dane Brugler agrees with you. I'm not sure. I haven't done all the film work on him, and I think they're Mike Green's that speed edge guy versus Scorton, who's that big, you know, base buck defensive end. I mean, they're like 40 pounds difference, you know what I mean? So a very, very big difference between the two players. But do you want the speed rusher, or do you want the guy that's going to help you all four downs against the run and the pass? That's kind of what it's got to be. Kenny Powers. Got to hope the 49ers make good draft picks. I have my doubts. Every team that has been around for this long, you got the good and the bad. The good news is the 49ers have the home runs. Other teams don't get the home runs. A lot of other teams don't get the home runs. 49ers have the home runs. And it's peppered first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round. Like, you can go through the whole damn thing. I mean, you've hit in the first round. Now, Nick Bosa was kind of given to you, but Brandon Ayuk was a hit as well. Second round, Debo. Yeah, are you kidding me? That's a freaking home run, what that pick was. Third round, Fred Warner. Maybe one of the best third round picks of all time. Fourth round, again, third round, Dominic Pooney. Fourth round, maybe not as many home runs in the fourth round, but fifth round, goodness. You got Hufanga, you got Greenlaw, you got Demo. I mean, just... they're there. And then seventh round, you got to go seventh round. You know who I'm going to say. Brock Purdy, baby. Brock Purdy. Yeah, you thought I was going to say Ronnie Bell. Nope, I was not. I was not. Right here, Vince. John, I know you like to hit the slopes. Have you ever been to Banff? I have not. I'm here for a jacuzzi conference. Highly rare. Oh, dude. Vince, don't tip me with a good time. I'll show up in my best Will Ferrell SNL hot tub skit. I will rock that for those of you that know what it is. I can't grow facial hair, but yeah, we'll have a good time. Let's mock, man. This is not a mock draft. We are merely analyzing a lot of other draft targets. It's much more of a draft target episode. As we go through your comments, it's kind of turning into that. But we're going to be talking about Dane Brugler's two-round mock and kind of analyzing what that looks like. All-star tuna. If we get a fix at center, the D-line, then we'll need a safety, then we're back. We're close. The roster is close. No doubt about it. Steve Broly says, you look rejuvenated, John. Good to see. I am, man. I'm pumped. This might be a long, 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 long show. Long show. Eduardo, Jack Sawyer at 47. I would love that. And I think, you know, Jack Sawyer, the edge out of Ohio State, he's an absolute stud. And I think that this edge class is pretty damn deep. I really, really do. And so, yeah, I like Mikael Williams, and I'd be very, very happy with him at the 49ers at pick 11. But there's so many edge players. Now, we're talking about Jack Sawyer at 47 at Dane Brugler's mock. Again, adding context to where these players are going to be slotted and fit. Jack Sawyer went 35 in Dane Brugler's mock. And a lot of these mock drafts, and I can manipulate the simulators on every single site to get us, you know, all these studs. But one of my favorite things this time of year is, look, yeah, I would love Jack Sawyer at 47. That would be a great pick. But man, he's going 12 picks before us at Dane Brugler's mock, and nobody is more tapped into the talent. I don't think Dane Brugler's the best fit with...
It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while you watch the playoffs. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So sign up today with our code 49ers, 49ERS. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So if you think Brock Purdy is going to throw for more than 1.5 touchdowns or Lamar Jackson 250 pass yards the following week, man, that's where it's at. And my favorite thing is it's just simple. You pick two players, more or less, and then you're golden. So download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly. After you play your first $5 lineup, again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first game on Prize Picks. Run your game. It's a brand new year, and everybody has New Year's resolutions. Did you know only 8% of people stuck with their last year's New Year's resolution throughout the year? Well, who doesn't want to be better off financially? Well, here's the thing with Acorns. You go to there, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, your retirement, whatever your financial needs are. And here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits your goals. And you don't need to be rich. You can start with $5, even just your spare change, and they can round up your transactions. That's what I do personally. I've been using this same feature for at least 4 or 5 years now on Acorns. So whether you don't have time, you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. This is where Acorns comes into effect for you because they help you get there. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. And I am proud to say that this episode is brought to you by Acorns. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Understanding what the teams want? I think Dane Brugler's the best with understanding what these players are. Does that make sense? So because he had the Tennessee Titans take Jack Sawyer edge out of Ohio State at 35, I don't think that's really a Tennessee Titans evaluation. I think that's a where Jack Sawyer should go evaluation. But if he drops, yes. I would love that. Bro Montana, thank you for the super chat. It says, bummer, no more 49ers football, but more content? Yes, please. Yeah, we're not going nowhere. You guys know that. Justin with the deep dive. Give me Lander Barton in the fourth. I like that. Sean, any draft crushes yet, brother? I know it's early. My number one guy that I've kind of been on, and we'll talk, is Kelvin Banks Jr. He's my guy. He's the one that I know the most about, obviously. I'm a Longhorn fan. That's part of it. I do like the Arkansas guy. Jackson, I think he's a stud. Again, another one of those edge players that are kind of too big to be just a prototypical edge. Landon Jackson, 6'7", 280 out of Arkansas. I really, really do like that guy. Umon Mielen out of Ole Miss. That dude, like, those three kind of go to the top of my list. And even though there's two edge players, Umon Mielen out of Ole Miss is completely different than Landon Jackson. One of them's quick twitch, smaller, not small, but you know, hyper athlete, speed, just freak player off the edge. And then you got Landon Jackson. That's much more of that kind of, I say Armstead, but he's like a bigger Aiden Hutchinson is kind of how I see it. He's not going to get those sack totals, even though he had 7 sacks in the SEC. But there's some guys that I like, man. There's a lot. And this is where the draft starts to get breathed life into these players, and they start to take shape because, man, you break down the tape, the all 22, and we're going to have so many of those because we got time this year. We haven't had time recently, and you dive into their past. You learn about who they are on and off the field, what their majors are, all those different things, academic honor roll, captains, wrestling, all that different stuff. Like, I love that stuff. I just absolutely love that stuff. So these guys come to life, and that's what we want to do here, right? What's John Chapman's job in the 49ers rush team? What's our job during the offseason? We had a shitty year. This 49ers year is behind us. How do we get back? And that's why I'm so pumped up about all these players. And man, I know it's going to seem like I'm in love with a lot of these dudes. That's an awesome line right there. Quote that one. But I don't care. But it's because this is the lifeblood of how the 49ers return to being in competition for the Super Bowl. This is the path. This is the way. This is the way. Right? My Mandalorian. And so I love these guys. And I'm also loving the passion that comes out in you guys. Vince, yeah, Jack Sawyer is a freaking boss. Would love to get that guy on our team. I guarantee you Nick Bosa wants him. Nick Bosa carries a lot of weight on this team. What's up, Steven? How are we doing? What's up, Mike? You guys are awesome. And right here, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about possibility of trading up and possibility of trading back after we dive into this mock draft and using this as a simulation for where the talent lies and if the 49ers can get better. Obviously, you can, but will they? Thank you, Michael. He says, so much talent, let's trade back. If you can get a blue chip at 11, I'm sticking put. But if you can't get a blue chip, and we'll have to see how the 49ers diagnose this, I mean, when's the next time you plan on picking in the top 11? That's going to be interesting. Right here, Cal and Chipto. Yeah, right now the 49ers could interview the Cowboys special teams coordinator. The article that was put out was coaches on expiring contracts can interview. I don't know what Bones Fossil, if his contract has expired. I know they fired Mike McCarthy and they're moving on and they have no plan. But I don't know. Again, coaches' contracts are not public knowledge a lot of times, especially coordinators. I don't know. I know their DC and their head coach are expiring contracts. I don't know if Bones Fossil is. And so I hope that they can. And I would love. Yeah, go get Jim Fossil. Are you kidding me? I would be so happy. Can he work with Kyle? He has the most like fake punts and all that kind of stuff of any DC. Kyle Shanahan's never allowed one fake punt in 8 years. In 8 years, he hasn't allowed one. Would you be a special teams coordinator that's going to come here and Kyle's going to say, oh, by the way, you can never fake a punt ever? Yeah. I don't know. I'd love to get him, though. Monkey Boy, he says, what effect does a revolving door DC have on players? If the scheme stays the same, not too much, and we have the most vanilla scheme in the world, does it hinder young players' growth? Not necessarily. It doesn't help it. Change doesn't help unless you go from bad to good. So going from Nick Sorensen, where every single player on the roster got worse defensively, every single one except for one, D'Amador Lenore was the only player that improved. And guess what? The only reason why he improved is because Nick Sorensen was his position coach, and then he lost him as a position coach, and he got better. He went to DC. So going from bad to good, the return to 49ers defensive excellence is right there. And if you partner that with a quality draft, oh boy, this is a good defensive draft. It's a very good one. Right here, Cowachipto, the Senior Bowl will be big for Scorton, or Scorton. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. The Senior Bowl is huge. And you know, Shanahan has been, and the 49ers have been so big. We want to see what these players could do against other NFL talent. The Senior Bowl is bigger for the 49ers than any team in the NFL. We have the most Senior Bowl players on this roster, period. So, yes, it is big for Nick Scorton, and it's big for any player that's there. And, man, if you are ever in the opportunity of having a youngster go through the NFL draft process, man, and they could do the Senior Bowl, 1,000% they got to be there. They got to be there. They got to be there. Right here, Barry. Robert Saleh is interviewing for the Dallas Cowboys coaching job right now. I do not want that to happen. I do not want that to happen. I do not want that to happen at all. Right here, Sean, he says, I feel like off the past two drafts, I wonder if the Niners are going to people we don't expect again, or are they going to be more seniors? Man, they've changed. They want experience. They don't want players that are injured, which is weird with Josh Simmons, right? Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, coming off an ACL. Does that mean the 49ers like remove him from their list? I don't think so. He's got a big combine. Can he clear by combine and work out? It's going to be right around that 9-month mark. Let's see here, because I just had up. Do I have it? Man, I think I pulled it down. Oh, no, I got it right here. So he got hurt. Game 7 is where Josh Simmons, the tackle of Ohio State, tore his Achilles. When was that game? It was week 7. So we're talking, man, October, November, it's going to be right at that 9-month mark. I think he's going to be all right. Yeah, Kittle 5th. I left that out. Sorry, Alex. Thank you. Very good catch there. Ooh, look at this. We're going to talk about this later. I'm starring this comment. Mason Graham or Emory Jones Jr. I got something for you. So let's do this. Without further ado, Chad,
appreciate you. Let's go through and let's talk Dane Brugler of the Athletics mock draft 2.0 second round. So tidbits before the 49ers even got on the clock. Abdul Carter went two. We don't have a shot at him. The 49ers do not have a shot at Abdul Carter. He is going top five. Guaranteed under any situation, done. So, like, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Whatever hope you had of getting Abdul Carter, just understand you're trading multiple first and probably an additional second just to get the opportunity to get him, and you still might not be enough. You're not getting Abdul Carter. You're not getting him. It's not going to happen. So anyway, take that for what you will. Mason Graham went seventh. I think Mason Graham's a little bit more realistic than Abdul Carter, but still not likely. And shout out to my man, Jonathan H. We're going to talk about this at the end in a hypothetical trade scenario where what if Mason Graham falls to like eight? Is it time to what would it take for the 49ers to trade up and what would that look like? We're going to flesh that out after we talk through this draft. Josh Simmons, who we've been talking about a lot, just put down his draft breakdown tape up on the 49ersrush.com. Go check that out. Really, really liked him, by the way. Really liked him. He went number 10. So now the 49ers are on the clock at pick 11 for Dane Brugler, and Kelvin Banks Jr. is there. Will Campbell's there. Mikel Williams is there. You've got talent everywhere. And I know everybody is like, man, look at this best super chat ever. Alex, appreciate you. He says, don't you ever apologize to me again. Yes, sir. I almost apologize for apologizing, but I will not do that. I will not do You're the best. So the 49ers are on the clock at pick 10. There's a lot of talent there, and he kind of zagged. He had the 49ers take an offensive tackle slash guard. He's a hybrid player. Armand Imbau out of Missouri. I know, Chad, if you're listening to this somewhere, congratulations, man. So a little bit of a different pick. Imbau has been seen going in late first, early second, but Dane Brugler thought that it was a perfect fit. Now, he cites control, athleticism, and finish. So let's dive in to Armand Imbau. Again, I would like this pick because the position and the versatility, I like that. I don't like this pick because I think it's a little bit of a reach, and I think there's better players on the board. Having said all that, I haven't broke down his All-22 yet. I've watched some game tape on him, but I haven't done a full game, and he's my next spotlight player that we're going to do over at the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. So he's our next guy up in the tackle series. Again, we've done Will Campbell. We've done Kelvin Banks Jr. We've done Josh Simmons. Imbau's next. So here's our research. From Missouri, 6'3", 314. A little bit shorter than most left tackles. 314, that's fine. He's 21 years old. He's played exclusively at right tackle. He has 29 starts at right tackle, 2,000 plus snaps. What I put just on my quick, so like I'll go through and I'll watch like 2 to 3 series real quick. And I just try to say, okay, what are the 3 things that jump off to me watching a player? And I do this for every position. But then whenever I go through and watch at least 2 game films, I change, you know, evaluate, obviously. New information, you reevaluate. Here are the first 3 things that jumped off to me. Run blocking, that was very clear. Finish, this dude doesn't turn around and watch players a la Jake Brendel. He wants to hurt people. And getting to the second level, that's kind of the 3 things that jump off with him. Run blocking, stud. He's nasty, he's mean. And he gets to the second level. He's a complete fit for the zone scheme. Like, that is where he belongs. Control and athleticism, very apparent. Is he a guard or a tackle? This is a player. Now, understand, 34-inch arm length is a staple in the NFL. Got to put a little asterisk on that. Not for the 49ers. Not for the Shanahan system. Not for the outside zone system. Colton McKivitz has kind of the shortest arms in the NFL for a starting tackle. That is not an exclusion. And I get a lot of people like Nick, a good friend on Twitter. He asked me like, man, are you concerned about Kelvin Banks' arm length? Not for the 49ers, I'm not. If I was the Titans, I would be. If I was the Patriots, I would be. If I was a lot of teams, that is a staple. The Colts, that's a big deal. They are a threshold drafting team based on metrics. Trent Baalke, same thing. Like, if you don't have arm length, and that's who we used to be, we're not that anymore. So that doesn't matter as much to me for Mbow, for Kelvin Banks, for a lot of other tackles. That's not imperative, but it is for other teams, which means Mbow's not going to be on power schemes board as a tackle. He's going to be a guard interior player, period. So that means these players will fall a little bit more because not every single team's fighting for them. Does that make sense? That's one reason why when Dane Brugler says Josh Simmons is the first tackle, every single team will have Josh Simmons on their board because he fits zone power scheme. He fits threshold. He fits arm length. He fits, you know, power conference. He fits all those things. Kelvin Banks, some people are going to have him as a guard. Some people are going to have him inside. Those are power schemes, right? Shanahan won't. Shanahan will not. So back to Armand Mbow. First-generation immigrant from his parents came over from Cameron. Fluent in French, played tennis, wrestling background. That is huge. You get a wrestler that plays in the trenches, they understand leverage, and they understand, again, how to finish. That's what you get graded on, right? Yeah, you could win early, but then you lose late. That doesn't matter, right? You don't get a point. You got to pin them. And so whenever I see the tape, and I'm like, dude, this guy could put people on the ground consistently. And then I'm like doing the research and I'm like, oh, he's a wrestler. Yeah, that makes sense. The leverage, the finish, the violence, all of those different things, that's huge. That's what Mbow brings. He gave up 0 sacks, 0 hits, but 9 hurries in 2024. You go back to last year, 2023 with Missouri, he gave up 2 sacks, 0 hits, 12 hurries. So he got better. PFF scores, he's an 87 overall grade. Run grade, 82 overall grade. He's got an 85 zone grade, 69. Nice. Gap grade. Again, Marcus Mbow is going to a zone team. Or if he goes to a power team, power gap scheme, he's going to be a guard. So again, will you value him if you're a power gap scheme as a guard in the first round? No. So the only way that Armand Mbow goes in the first round is to a zone scheme, period. True pass set grade, he's got an 85, solid. He's got some good ones. Now, and this is from the Draft Network, they charted his worst grades, his worst graded games on PFF, Texas A&M, oh, that's a bunch of power defensive ends. Arkansas, power defensive end. Oklahoma, that's a problem. Best graded games, South Carolina, that's Kyle Kennard. UMass and Buffalo, that's an issue. Why are his worst games against the best defensive ends that are draft eligible? That's a concern. His experience, I gave a 5 out of the tackle position. He's got 2,000 plus snaps. That's right around average for this draft class. Last year, the 49ers valued experience over everything. So that's a little bit of a knock there. Versatility, I got as an 8. I think even though he only played right tackle, could he be a left tackle? Probably. Not ideal. This is a right tackle, right guard, left guard guy. Could play left tackle if you needed to him. We'll have to see what the measurements come out at the combine. And that's going to help him considerably. Now, the play style comp, and shout out to the rush team. Remember Dwayne Brown in his prime. That's the type of player he is. Go back to his Houston tape, even before Tampa Bay tape. Dwayne Brown was a mean man that a lot of people didn't have as a left tackle, but in the zone scheme, it fit. And so that's what I've got of Marcus Mbow. I want to take some time and go through the comments and just make sure I didn't miss any of these different things. Let's see here. I'm going to tag some of these, come back. Cowachipto, he says, LOL, he took a guard. And for the 49ers, I think he could play tackle. But yeah, this is a reach for me. I wasn't excited about it. But I'd be fine as long as we go OT or whatever. Pronounce Mbow. Oh, okay. I've been pronouncing it wrong. Part of the process that is very hard to do is finding all of the pronunciations for these players. And I can't always do it. A lot of the colleges started putting their media guide behind a paywall where you have to pay for each one of them.
I remember 3 years ago, I could just type in Missouri football guide, and it would have a pronunciation chart. I'd copy and paste it. Now they're all using it to get more money, and I can't get a lot of them. But Mimbu, according to Jeremy, thank you. Cavachipto, he's good. Not 11 pick good. I agree. I agree there. We'll tag that one, come back. We'll tag that one, come back. Oh, what's up, Mike? He says, today is my wife's birthday, too. Man, Wayne, Debo, and Mike's wife. Happy birthday, Mike's wife. That is awesome. Let's see here. Need a future left tackle. I'm not sure Mimbu is that guy. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. Jake, no guarantee that Trent plays next season. I'm pretty sure they've got about $18 million guaranteed on that, because if Trent doesn't play, he loses that. So is it possible that he hangs it up? For sure. But that has not come across from, you know, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, or Trent Williams, or any of the agents involved. You go back to when Joe Staley was done, they were like, we're going to give Joe the time, we're going to give Joe the time, we're going to give Joe the time. That does not seem to be the way this has gone. It's pretty hard to bank on. How old is Trent Williams now? I think he's 36, I believe. Let me just make sure. Trent Williams, man, he came into the league in 2010. Trent Williams is currently 36, and he'll be 36 at the start of the season. So, oh, no, he won't. He'll be 37 at the start of the season. His birthday's in July. So, yeah, it's hard to bank on a 37-year-old offensive lineman. That doesn't happen. Yeah, NY Niners. This was my note after watching him, for what it's worth. NY Niners, he's my comp guy. I appreciate you, dude. You're killing it. Right here, quote, wish I watched his film sooner than I did. Love this guy. He's a dude. He's just turning 21 in spring. He's played right tackle, but he'll be able to move to left tackle if needed. That's a knock on him. Yeah, and that profile, and kind of the profile that I've built, and NY Niners has helped build that profile, that didn't scream 11 pick. And I think if you're going to get an Armand Mbu at pick 20, that's a pick 20 read, personally. And so I think it's a little bit rough. Jake B, was he good at wrestling? I have not tracked his record yet, but if you're 6'3", 314, and you've got a scholarship to go play football and you're still wrestling, yeah, I think it matters. And I think even if he's not a good wrestler, I don't know if he was or not. That's something we've got to build out that background. I think that's a big deal. I think it matters. I really, really do. Oh, right here, Paul. Paul Hope, my man. He said, asking for a friend, when will the draft guide be available? We're going to do it different this year. I probably need to put a time period, but some point in February, we're going to release an early draft guide, a working draft guide, so that you can see what we're working on instead of just like a finished product. We'll probably should like create a Google Doc that you can view without editing, and you can copy and paste and make your own and whatever. But I'm thinking February at some point. We're getting a lot of progress done, but man, I don't want to put out an inferior product early, and that's going to be available to all of our Patreon subscribers and all of the 49ersrush.com subscribers. And if you haven't head over there yet, please do so, because that is how I feed my family. That is the reason why I'm allowed to go full-time and just do this full-time. But that's going to be available. The final product won't be done until probably 3 weeks before the draft. Probably that first week of April, April 10th, is kind of one of the spots that I want to get out there. Anyway, take that for whatever it is, whatever you want. Going through just a couple more of these comments that I want to get to. All right, I think we're good. Right here, Google is Skynet. Mbu is so good. He's a good player. I think he fits the 49ers culture. I think he fits what we want in a player. Do I want him at the 11th pick? I do not. If we traded back, which I would be cool with, then I'd be like, all right, this works. This works. And you know what else works? If you're going to bet playoff football, you know where you got to go. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs. And all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie.
MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there, whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right, so let's continue on with Dane Brugler's 2.0 mock draft. Again, the 49ers took offensive tackle slash guard Armand Mbu. I got to get used to that new pronunciation, from Missouri. A little bit of a reach, but I think it fits. Now, Mikel Williams went 17th. Kelvin Banks went 18th. And edge Mike Green, who we took in the second round of our last mock draft, went 27th. So the 49ers get on the clock at pick 43, and they take a player that a lot of people, again, I think goes a little bit earlier. It is a perfect fit. Defensive tackle Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss. He was at Texas A&M, transferred to Ole Miss. They took him at 43 in Dane Brugler's mock draft. Now, this is a home run pick, because defensive tackle, I think, is the biggest need on the 49ers roster currently. Again, this is before free agency, obviously. It's the biggest need. It's the biggest need. It's more of a need than offensive tackle. It's more of a need, maybe center, but center's not a premium position. And defensive tackle, we gave it the most rushing touchdown since that stat has been tracked for the 49ers in the past 30 years. 30 years, we gave it the most rushing touchdowns this past year. So, Walter Nolan, let's dive in. Let's talk about this guy. Ole Miss, 6'3", 304, 21 years old. The three things that came across to me was versatility. I mean, this guy could be an edge rusher, three technique, five technique, nose, shade. He could play everywhere. He played predominantly three technique in college. Strength, he is a brute force and anchor. He does not get driven back versus double teams often, which you don't want to prioritize anchor ability in the run for a defensive tackle in today's NFL, but we don't have a lot of guys that have it, especially whenever you had Hargrave and you had Jordan Elliott, who both have no anchor whatsoever. That's been a major problem. So to swap out one of the biggest weaknesses in this wide nine, you know, light box thing, is you got to have defensive tackles that can stop the run and anchor against a double team and duo. We have not had that. Walter Nolan can do that. He had 1,200 plus snaps. Here's his alignment chart. This is one of my favorite things I'm still doing for other positions, by the way. Where did they line up their entire career? So 1,200 plus snaps in his career, 80 at nose tackle, 750 plus at defensive tackle, that three technique, 200 at an end. That's where he's kind of in that 5-4 technique, 160 plus outside, talking about versatility. Like, he's an edge rusher, 160 plus snaps as an edge rusher, and seven as an off-ball linebacker blitzing stand-up position, you know, going after it. So this guy can line up everywhere. Really, really like. Moved around a bunch as a kid, three separate high schools in Mississippi. Then he went to Memphis, Tennessee as a junior, Powell High School in Tennessee as well. Won state championships at two separate schools. Pretty damn good. And to say he is a five-star recruit, that's an understatement. He was the number one overall recruit by ESPN in 2022 coming out of high school. The number one player. I mean, this dude was he's the ceiling is level 100. He was number two by Rivals, only behind Travis Hunter, committed to A&M, was there for two seasons, then went to Ole Miss. Consensus All-American, first team All-SEC in 2024, multidisciplinary studies major. Go to his stats this past year. Again, we're talking Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
And that was one of the best off defensive lines in the NFL or in college football, Ole Miss. I mean, they pay for defensive linemen. They've always paid for their players, Ole Miss has, but they now NIL's there. Yeah, they did. Not the biggest Ole Miss fan, but their D line is unreal. 6 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 22 hurries. Go back to 2023 at 7 sacks. So you have multiple years of production in the SEC from a defensive tackle. That's huge. PFF scores, 88 overall, 72 rush grade. Stopping the run, he's got a 92 grade. You got to be kidding me. That is off the charts. Off the charts. Mock draft database has him number 23 overall, just consensus where he's going. That's why I think 43 is a reach. I think if you want Walter Nolan, you've got to trade back or trade up. I don't think he's going to be there at 43 personally. Experience, I gave him a 6 versus the other defensive tackles. Versatility is 7. And the play style comp is Ed Oliver Light. I put Light in there because Ed Oliver's different. I mean, that was a top 10 pick. Athleticism and build, it's not fair to say Ed Oliver Light. And maybe not even with the tape either. It might just be Ed Oliver. Walter Nolan's a baller. I don't think that he's going to be there at 43 personally. I mean, he is, he's pretty damn good. Google is Skydet says, do you think he'll be there at 43? I do not. I don't think that he'll be there. I don't think either of these players, Mimbu or Walter Nolan, will be there at 43. I don't think that that's going to happen. Really, really don't. Let's see here. Jeremy, I love Nolan, but he will be drafted in the 40s. I think before the 40s, but yeah, right here. If Nolan owns the Senior Bowl, he very well might be the pick at 11. I think that Walter Nolan is a better pick at 11 than Mimbu is. And I think that the chances of Walter Nolan going 11 or 43, I think it's higher at 11 as well. If you told me we're walking out of the draft with Walter Nolan and Armand Mimbu, I'd be like, oh, we took Nolan at 11 and Mimbu at 43. I think they're just kind of flipped. But a lot of the answers haven't been there yet because you haven't had the interviews, you haven't had the medical, you haven't had the Senior Bowl, and you haven't had the combine. So right now it's just about getting these guys in the area or the neighborhood of kind of where they belong. Look at this, Chad. See, I think if you reverse the order of these picks, I'd feel better about the mock for the Niners. Nolan ain't falling to the set. Yeah, Chad, thank you. 5-star prospect. Yes, Jeremy, 100%. Kawachipu, this is kind of what I would prefer. I think you could trade back to 15 and take Nolan. Yes, that is what I would want right there. Ole Miss D-line was sick this past year. It was unreal, man. Uman Mielen is probably one of my draft crushes. Nolan is Ed Oliver. I won't compare him to Aaron Donald, but that is the kind of height weight he is. Yep. That's how he plays. Kind of shorter, leveraged stud that just disrupts and causes problems. Just disrupts and causes problems. So here's my question. How would y'all feel about this? I don't think most people like the Armand Mimbu pick, but to walk away out of the first two drafts with an offensive lineman, Mimbu, and a defensive tackle, Walter Nolan, how would you feel about that? Throw your grades up there. A, B, C, D, E, F. You walk out of the first round, whatever the order, with Walter Nolan and Mimbu, how would you feel? Because I'm like, my initial thing is like probably a B+, but I'm like, man, you addressed trenches. I want to bump that up to an A. I don't think that we got a blue chip guy, which is kind of a problem being at 11. You want a blue chipper, but man, I ain't mad. Like, I would be totally cool with this. Lostway says B. Mike says B. Google says A. Monkey Boy says B. Truman says D. We don't have a C grade, but we got a D grade. Kawachipto, B, would want a left tackle prospect over a right tackle guy. Yeah, and I think there's left tackle guys there for sure. JJ Pegues, another guy from Ole Miss. I mean, they've got a lot, dude. Ole Miss is just, that whole D-line getting drafted day 1 and day 2. That's just what it is. Right here, Google Snyder. These guys don't understand how good Embu is. Flip on the tape, boys. That's the next one up. He's in the queue. Tape is good. The measurements, that guy's got a lot riding on the Senior Bowl. But Dane Brugler knows more about these guys than almost anybody. So I trust Dane over any draft analyst, period. It's not even close. B, C. I do like Embu, but not at 11, especially with Banks there. Nolan makes it better right here. No, and even Google is Skynet, who is a big Embu guy, says, no, I still wouldn't at 11. So there you go. Right here, Anthony says, John, have you done your research on that wide receiver from San Jose, Nick Nash? He's on the list, but no, wide receiver is way down the list on guys I'm scouting. And he's, again, kind of priority free agent, late round pick. I added him to our draft board, draft book for you. But wide receivers, we don't need wide receivers. We are not saying we're not going to take one, but as of right now, the guys you have on your roster, right? You have Ayuk signed to a long-term deal. He can't go anywhere. Debo, I think, returns. Maybe you trade him. Pearsall, you still got Cowing. I mean, that's four. We only keep five wide receivers active. Like, there's not room for a lot more, so I don't consider it a priority spot. But it doesn't mean we won't draft one. And, yeah, he's on the list for sure. But I'm waiting. Justin, I feel nervous about passing on Burden and Ginty. Dude, do not draft a wide receiver. Do not draft a running back. God, no. God, no. Please, Lord, no. Don't do those things. I don't care how good they are. Don't care. Now, I want to get to a hypothetical that was brought on from a listener, Jonathan H. He's the freaking man. About this trade situation. So, in Dane Brugler's mock draft, Mason Graham went 7. But Jonathan asked this. He said, if Mason Graham falls to 8, because I don't think there's a chance Mason Graham is there at 11. I really, really don't. He's too good of a player at a premium position that gets paid a ridiculous amount of money. Everybody needs defensive line help. Everybody needs defensive line help. And so he asked this. If Mason Graham falls to 8, what would be the chances we would trade up? What would it cost? He even did a lot of the math. So I went to, you know, probably one of my favorite sites is the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, drafttech.com. I have it bookmarked every year and I open it 1,000 times. So the 49ers pick 11th. And I know somebody's listening to this and I say this every year, man, that draft chart, so outdated, whatever else. It's not. It's outdated for quarterback trades up in the first round, but that's it. You look at any non-quarterback trade, and it is spot on. Draft pick trades, NFL teams use this. They all have slight variations. I totally get that. But the Niners ain't trading up for a quarterback. Hope so. Hope they're not. This year. So to move from 11 to 8, which if you want Mason Graham, I still think that Mason Graham's gone by 8. Again, let's just go through this. Okay, how many teams need a quarterback? Those are the only ones that you can remove, okay? Tennessee needs a quarterback. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Giants need a quarterback. Patriots don't at 4. Jacksonville doesn't at 5. At 6, the Raiders, they need a quarterback. The Jets at 7, they need a quarterback. Carolina, I don't think they're going to take another quarterback at 1 with what Bryce showed. I think you bring in a vet maybe. So that's 3. New Orleans, I think they need a quarterback, but you got Derek Carr signed. That's 4. And Chicago, that's 5 teams that picked before the 49ers that I don't think are going quarterback. Like, this is not a 5 quarterbacks gone in the top 10 picks draft. I didn't think it was last year either, but that is what happened last year. It's only happened one time in the history of the NFL that 5 quarterbacks went in the top 10. That was last year. I don't think it's happening again. Mason Graham is going to one of those teams. That's all there is to it. I don't think that he'll be there at 8. But let's flesh it out. Let's look at this. If Mason Graham is there at 8 to trade from 11 to 8 on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, the 11th pick is worth 1,250 points. The 8th pick is worth 1,400. That's a discrepancy of 150 points, right? So how do you find that? Well, the 49ers' 75th pick is worth 215 points. That's more. So you're overpaying. So now you got to kick back. Now, it just so happens that the Carolina Panthers own pick 8. So if they traded back, they also have pick 113. So it works out really, really well in the trade chart where the 49ers would give 11 and 75, and they would get back 8 and 113. So you jump up 3 spots in the first to fall back about 40 spots from the third to the fourth round. I mean, you're dropping a full third to fourth round pick. Now, my question in this whole conversation isn't should they or should they not or whatever else. I just want to say what this is. So I went and did several mock drafts on PFF and moved some of the variances around. Here's basically what that would shape out to be. My best case scenario. All right. The 49ers trade up to pick 8. You land Mason Graham, assuming he falls that far. You trade 11 and 75, but you get back 8 and 13. So the Niners get Mason Graham, and then they draft offensive tackle Emory Jones out of LSU with that 113 pick. So you're getting, again, I'm not going to flip the spots, right? So you get a defensive tackle and you get a OT. Now, stayed with Dane Brugler's mock, you stay at 11 and you get Armand Embu, offensive tackle at 11. And then you look at that pick 75 that we traded away, you get Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of Oregon. So this is the opportunity cost side on what you would prefer. Would you prefer Mason Graham and Emory Jones, or would you prefer Armand Embu and Derek Harmon? That is the question, because that's basically, I oversimplified things a little bit, and it's going to be more convoluted than that for sure, but that's what that would look like. And I got to give credit. I started this. This was one of the first comments, 10:56 this morning. One of the first comments of the show. Saza, or I can't read your whole thing, says Mason Graham or Emory Jones, 100% salute. I don't even know if he's still with us, but this was before I even presented the hypothetical. It was like one of the first comments on today's show. So I know which one he would go with, but shout out to him because I think that is awesome. So the question is, which one do y'all want? Do you want Graham and Emory Jones, or would you rather have Embu and Derek Harmon? Which one would you rather want out of those two? That's the question. So would it be worth trading up? Man, I think I'd take the trade up if that was the option. If these were the things that were put out there, because that's pretty freaking solid. I ain't mad about that at all. So anyway, you can kind of take that for what you want. That's what it would cost to trade up. So let's get to some of these questions and comments that have been out there. Lee, they need so much. How can trading up in the first round be an option? Man, you got to get a blue chip player. If you get a guy that you could see being an all pro, that's a plug and play guy, trading up is an option. I truly think that it is. And if Mason Graham's that guy, whoever you see is that guy, I trade up for Kelvin Banks. I would. I would trade up for Mason Graham. I would. Obviously, I trade up for Abdul Carter, but I don't even think you can get in range of that. But I don't want this like blockbuster move. Again, moving from 11 to 8 costs you a third round pick. And you get back like a fourth or a fifth. So like, I'm totally cool with that. So, yeah, like, if we get a blue chip guy, I'm cool with that. Now, a Niners fan asked this, how many picks do the 49ers have? When will that information be available? So, if you go off of over the cap, we have 11. If you go off of draft tech, we have 10. If you go off of what Shanahan and the 49ers and John Lynch have said, they believe 10. Now, the compensation pick formula is derived on three things, and this is when we're going to find out. Average amount per year on the salary, play time, that's already been, so you've got to finish the regular season playing time, snaps. And then the third one is postseason honors. That doesn't come out until right before the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl week, because comeback player of the year, MVP, offensive player of the year, all that stuff. That factors in the compensation pick formula. So that the final numbers can't come out until right at the Super Bowl. So that's when we'll get that information, because the third kind of trifecta of that formula It hasn't been given out yet. And so, and that's huge for us and the 49ers because Sam Darnold has sway. If he wins some type of award, that's going to help the 49ers compensation pick formula. Does that make sense? We could have 12 picks. I don't think we could have 12 because, okay, so the 49ers have their own picks are 11, 43, 75, 112, 185, 227. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have six picks that are our own. Okay. Where'd that fifth round pick go, I wonder? Did we trade that one? Bum, ba, da, bum, bum, bum. I don't know where we traded that one, but that's okay. Anyway, I'll deal with that later. Now, the compensation pick formula, we're getting a third round pick for losing D'Amico and Rand Carthon. There. Now, you can only get three compensation pick formulas for players. That's the maximum for players. Right now, they are seen to get 137. That's from Chase Young. 249 and 254. Those players, let me scroll up. I've got it in my notes somewhere on another show. I want to make sure I got this. Cleveland Farrell and Ray McLeod. Now, if Sam Darnold vaults up, because right now Sam Darnold's canceling out the Leonard Floyd signing. But what would happen is that bump off the Ray McLeod pick, so he wouldn't get that seventh comp pick, but it would vault up Sam Darnold into not canceling out Leonard Floyd. We would get like an additional fourth round pick for that. Does that make sense? So I don't think we'd get another pick, Logan. I think that we would get a better pick. So instead of the seventh round for Ray, you can only get three player compensation picks total. We would basically get two fourths and a seventh. So I don't think we get more picks. I think we get better pick, if that makes sense. I hope that helps. Hope I didn't. What's it called? Ooh, Joe says Mikael Williams is going to be a bust. That's crazy. I love Mikael Williams. Curious to know why? Email me 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. I want to know why. I want to know why. Will McKivitz play better with some help? Yeah, no, because he's got help next to him. No, you don't move forward planning on McKivitz being here. He's got to be here because he signed through the year, but like your plan isn't McKivitz to be the staple. Maybe McKivitz starts, you know, the first month and then you transition to a young guy, but yeah. David, I appreciate it. David says, if Graham gets past five, I'm moving heaven and earth to go get him. There we go. Right here, Coach Yak just tweeted 12 picks. Okay. Maybe he knows something I don't. Again, I'm going after OTC and I'm going after draft tech and I'm going after what Lynch said. Lynch said 10. Draft tech and OTC say 11, but it's not finalized yet. So we'll have to see how the awards go and all that stuff go. Oh, yeah, the payroll, Eric Costas the fifth. I think you're right there. Not shocked. Possible trade with the Broncos. Broncos might want to trade up for Gentry. There's going to be trades. No apologies, Logan. I'm glad you're here. We only have 10 picks. John Lynch said that. He said he thinks that they're going to have 10. It's not finalized yet. It's not there yet. So there's that. Now, right here, Jake says, do you think the Niners trade back multiple times or make the pick at 11? My thing is this. If there's a blue chip player at a premium position, O-line, D-line, you take that pick. When are you going to pick up that high again? I could already see Kyle Shanahan, oh, we don't pick this high that often, you know, that type of thing. I could see him saying it. So we wanted to get a difference maker. If you can get a defensive tackle, defensive end, offensive tackle, they're going to be one there. Do the Niners see that? If they don't trade back, I would be very happy with a trade back. But not if there's a guy there. And I'm telling you right now, if Mikael Williams, Kelvin Banks, or Mason Graham is there, Mason Graham ain't going to be there at 11. I'm not trading out if Kelvin Banks is there. I'm taking that pick. I'm running that in right off the bat. Right off. He's my number one tackle. Number one. Right here, Will Campbell dominated Scorton in the run game. That's Will Campbell's specialty. And that's also Nick Scorton's specialty as well. But Will Campbell, my next episode, I'm already running past an hour. My next episode's going to be tier breaking these offensive tackles. So half of the segment on my next show is going to be, look, this is what all of the tackles bring to the table. I'm going to rank them for you where I have them. But I want to do this Armand Embu breakdown because of Dane. Thanks, Dane. Appreciate it. Dane's the best. But I'm going to add him into the fold. So I'm going to do those four, where each one of them excels, where each one of them's deficiencies are, why I have them, who they fit best with, all those things. So, but Will Campbell, yeah, run game. If you're looking for run game, Will Campbell's your number one tackle. He's your number one. You're looking for run game, Will Campbell is the freaking man. Power teams, power gap schemes, we'll have Will Campbell number one. And then right here, Paul Hope, my man. He says, London, baby, let's talk scheduling. 49ers are getting an international game this year. I'm telling you that right now. It is happening. Why? Last year, there were five international games. The NFL wanted six, but the Mexico City renovations at Studio Azteca were not completed. And so they had to postpone the Mexico game. The 49ers were offered a London game over the past 2 years, and they turned it down. They didn't want to take it. Now, the 49ers have 9 away games and 8 home games, so this will not count against one of our home games. So for the locals, Niners aren't losing a home game. They would lose a road game. Now, what happened was the Colts have been awarded Germany, and the Cleveland Browns have been awarded London, one of the London games. Guess what? The 49ers travel to both of those cities. This is the problem with the 49ers rush road trip, is I want to go to both of those cities. And so if one of those games, the 49ers play there, that is a possibility. Now, Kyle Shanahan has said repeatedly he wants Mexico City. He said, this is quote from memory, if he could play anywhere, he'd choose Levi's first, then Mexico City second. He said, it was like playing in the Super Bowl. The energy was there. It was amazing. They loved it. I was at the Mexico City game. It was incredible. The travel's not, overly crazy. But to go from California to London or Germany, that's intense. Having said those things, I would love a London game. Just being selfish. I want to see Paul. I want to see Lee. I want to see the UK faithful. I want to be with those people. And wherever the 49ers do go internationally, I don't care where it is, North Pole, 49ers rush road trip, that is going to be the number one priority. If the wife vetoes it, she's going to have to come with me. That's all there is. I will never miss a 49ers international game, ever. That Mexico City environment was second to none. It was awesome. Right here, Rusty says, hold the poll. Where would we like to go? London's going to win the votes. I think if the 49ers were asked, I think they'd choose for Mexico. Will the renovations be done? That's the question. Will the renovations be done at Studio Azteca? So it's going to be a later game. I think we'll have to wait and see. The Colts got Berlin, and the Browns got London. But there's more than that. And right here, Rusty. Yeah, Rusty, he ain't going to miss it. He went to a London game last year, even though the 49ers weren't even playing there. That's my man. David, Mexico City is our home away from home. I just think that makes too much sense. John's extremely happy about these road trips. Let's go. I am, man. I am so pumped. Are you kidding me with these road trips? Oh, I'm so pumped, man. Look at this. We've got... I got to move the comment. Look at this. Obviously, division games. We're going to be in Arizona. We're going to be in Seattle no matter what. I mean, hopefully they quit screwing over Seattle. They've got Thursday games. Quit screwing over Seattle. Give them a regular Sunday game, please, for the love of God. New Orleans, yeah, I'll be there. Tampa Bay, probably my favorite trip from this past year. I love Tampa Bay. I've never been to the Meadowlands. I've been to 22 NFL stadiums. Haven't been to New York. Houston, 100% doing that one. Indianapolis, haven't been to that one either. Cleveland, haven't been to that one either. So, man, I am so freaking pumped about these games. I'm excited right here. Look at Alex. No one is more excited than me for the impending Seattle Thursday game. They just keep screwing you guys over, man. Google is Skynet. Playing at 7,000 feet is no joke. Man, me and Wayne, shout out to Wayne again. Happy birthday, brother. We walked up those stairs together, and we were, whew, boy, were we winded. We'll see. Sid says, are we going to Mexico?
Or are we going to Germany? She even marked the currencies there. I love it. Man, I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be fun. We'll see what happens. But I think, again, I'm a betting man. I don't know if I could bet on this, but I think Mexico City is probably going to be the place. That's just my own personal take. I could be way wrong, and perhaps the NFL knows more about the renovations. They're trying to get 8 games a year. If people are like, no, the 49ers just did one. No, no, no. In today's NFL, they want 8 regular season games that are international. 8 games times 2 teams is 16. That's half the NFL. So it's not you play one international game every 10 years like it used to be. No, 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 no. The NFL wants every single team plays an international game every other year. That is what they are going to. And in fact, with the schedule at 17, you know, in 2024, the 49ers had 9 home games. Didn't take advantage of that. Now in 2025, they'll have 9 road games. It alternates AFC and NFC. And so I think they're building it to where if the NFL could have it their way, every single team would have an international game once a year. That's what they want to do just to increase the revenue. It brings so much into whatever. So, yeah, right here. Look at that schedule. Kyle's on the hot seat if they don't make the playoffs. Yeah, I do agree. If you have this year for the 49ers in 2025, yeah, the hot seat is there. 100%. I do agree with that. I don't think the hot seat exists currently, but if that happens, man, yeah, take that for what it is. So I'm excited. It's going to be a fun year, but man, this was a fun show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. My next show is going to be breaking down tier breakers. It's going to be a heavy, heavy offensive tackle. We're diving into it, but that's going to do it for us today. You are the best. Go check out the 40irishrush.com or our Patreon channel. Watch the Josh Simmons breakdown versus Kelvin Banks versus Will Campbell. They are all up already, and it's free 7-day trial. So if you haven't supported yet, head over there. That's how we feed the family. Check those out. Even if you want to sign up, check those out, then cancel. Cool. I want you at the next show because I want your feedback on those things. But that's going to do it for us here today. You are the best there is. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.